From KLCC Studios, this is Oregon on the Record.
I'm Michael Dunn. Amazon is one of the largest and most profitable companies in the world. It ships millions of packages around the corner, around the state, around the nation, and around the world at speeds that are almost too fast to comprehend. And behind that massive shipping behemoth are millions of people scurrying around in huge fulfillment centers, moving packages and pallets to where they need to be. And earlier this month, one of those workers collapsed and died at the Amazon warehouse in Troutdale, Oregon. Today on the show, you'll hear from a reporter about this tragic incident and hear how Amazon has a less than stellar safety reputation. Then, in the second part of the show, you'll hear about a new cancer center opening up in Central Oregon. That's next on Oregon on the Record. Every job has its own challenges and negatives, from office cubicles to front desks to warehouses to farms. But no matter what the job, there's an expectation in America that the workplace should be safe. However, some employees at an Amazon warehouse in Troutdale, Oregon, are calling that expectation into question after something harrowing happened at the facility. A man passed out and died on April 6th. And some employees have said that Amazon seems less than sympathetic and said that management told them to continue working even after the man passed away. Today on the show, you'll hear from a reporter who wrote an article about this tragedy and also reports that Amazon's reputation for safety is not great. Amanda Silberling, who is a senior writer at TechCrunch. Amanda, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
You wrote an article about an employee who died at an Amazon warehouse in Troutdale, Oregon. Just generally, tell us about your article. Tell us what you found out.
Yeah, so I had found out about this story because I saw people talking about it on like Reddit forums for Amazon Fulfillment Center workers, and then the Western Edge, which is an independent outlet in the Pacific Northwest, had written about it and interviewed employees about the experiences they had of witnessing somebody die on the job. And to a certain extent, which the argument Amazon would make, I think, is that when you have so many thousands upon thousands of workers all over the country, things are just bound to happen because that's life. But people, I think, have an especially low tolerance for these sorts of things happening at Amazon because this isn't the first time we've seen things like this happen, so giving them the benefit of the doubt is a little bit more difficult. Amazon fulfillment centers are notoriously really difficult jobs. Like, I don't think I could do it. Like, I consider myself to be relatively in shape, and I think that job would kill me, but, like, this is something that people have to do to make ends meet, and it's like a really common job, but it's really physically demanding. And so this person collapsed on the floor, and the Oregon OSHA said that it was not related to the working conditions, but also, like, the fact of the matter is that he did faint at work and die. So this is caused a lot of unrest among the employees at this fulfillment center, and, like, people are obviously upset that when you go to work, the last thing you want is to see one of your coworkers die. Anyone die.
Sure. And in your reporting, I think even some employees through various channels communicating outside of what happened talked about the fact that, you know, they were almost advised to sort of work around this deceased person.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is one of those situations where, like, I wonder too if, like, maybe the managers here didn't know what to do. Like, maybe they were worried that if they told their employees to stop working, that they wouldn't meet their metrics and then they would get, like, in trouble, which I think just when you suck the humanity out of a workplace to that degree, that when there's a crisis, both the workers and management are still thinking, okay, but how is this going to affect, like, my goal for the day of how many packages I'm supposed to scan or whatever. Like, that's the environment that they're working in. And that's what it takes, I guess, to have packages delivered extremely quickly to people. But at the same time, it's like, is the cost of the convenience of Amazon that people are working these jobs where someone literally dies and they're like, okay, but I need to make sure I'm still scanning my packages and like doing like all of the things I'm supposed to be doing.
Yeah. What has Amazon said about the incident?
I mean, they've said that like they're sorry that this happened and that like they, like they have condolences for the person's family, but they aren't necessarily taking accountability for it. They're referring to the fact that Asha did not rule this to be, or I guess maybe not rule, like Asha did not consider this to be a work-related incident. And Amazon mostly has been doing damage control, where as a reporter, I think this gets into tricky territory where you're being told two very different things from Amazon, the company, and then like people that work at these warehouses, where they both have like a particular angle where, of course, Amazon wants to make themselves look like they're doing the right thing, and the workers are upset at like what they're experiencing at work, and they have their own reasons to be wary. And so, on one hand, Amazon is saying this had nothing to do with work. They denied reports that like some people on social media were talking about the warehouse being really hot and that there were sound curtains installed that made the temperature of the warehouse just like get worse. And that was sort of one of the speculations of like maybe this person had a cardiac event related to how hot it was, but Amazon has denied that's the case, and they said that the temperature of the warehouse has actually decreased since putting in the sound curtains. So you're hearing a bit of different things on both sides, which we have to be careful about navigating. But also, I mean, the fact of the matter is that somebody went to work at the Amazon Fulfillment Center and didn't come home.
Yeah. And I believe it's known as PDX9. And as I understand
Yes.
it, this facility, there's been a history of some unhealthy or unsafe practices. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so Amazon in general, compared to overall warehouse industry rates of injuries, the Amazon warehouses have serious injuries reported at twice as frequently a rate, according to 2024 OSHA data. And specifically at PDX9, an investigation in 2018 from Reveal found that 26% of employees at the warehouse had sustained injuries, which is also very above the average. Which also, I mean, we're talking about 2026 now. This is 2018. And Amazon is saying that, well, this OSHA data is being cherry-picked and it doesn't represent the whole situation, but also, like, numbers are numbers to an extent. And there is a history that shows that PDX9 has had particularly harsh working conditions at a company that overall has particularly harsh working conditions.
Yeah. You know, obviously you cover the industry, the tech industry. I just wanted to find out, is it sort of well known amongst observers of the tech industry that Amazon warehouses, fulfillment centers are some of the most harsh conditions in this landscape?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like every couple of years there's some investigation into Amazon warehouses. There are currently ongoing investigations that are being conducted in the US government. And in particular, I think there has been some really good investigative reporting by journalists who have gone and worked in these warehouses. Like the journalist Emily Gindelsberger has a book called On the Clock, where part of it is about the experience working at an Amazon fulfillment center. And what she writes about has like stuck with me for years. Like I read this book like before I even reported on tech. And yeah, I mean, I think when you just hear what the conditions are like working in these places and how everything is so like efficiency driven and how you really are treated as a cog in a machine, where like sometimes people feel like cogs in a machine when they're working like desk jobs, but this is like you literally are like you are a person in the machine. I don't know if I'm describing that well,
No,
but
that's
it's just like when you think about like if you've ever experienced any frustration at work about like I need to hit a certain metric or like I'm being viewed as just like a key performance indicator and not as a full human being with a complex life and circumstances. Amazon fulfillment centers are sort of the like more intense version of that, where you often see in these online forums where fulfillment center workers are talking amongst one another is that they say that they feel like if they aren't like physically fit or healthy enough to do the job, then they can easily be replaced.
Wow. Well, it's a tragic story and very interesting as well. Amanda Silberling, who is a senior writer at TechCrunch, really appreciate your reporting on this. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thank you.
St. Charles Medical Center is the largest medical facility in Central Oregon, and it's now getting bigger. Right now, you'll hear about how they're opening a brand new cancer facility in that community. Mari Shea, service line administrator for cancer services at St. Charles. Mari, thanks so much for coming on and talking with us.
Yeah, you're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, you made a big announcement about this new cancer center in Central Oregon. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're really excited to announce that we will be opening our brand new cancer center in Redmond on April 20th.
Yeah, and kind of give us an overview of the size of the building and sort of what's going to happen there. Obviously, cancer treatment, but give us the 30,000 foot view, if you would.
Yeah. No problem. So we have an existing, just to put this into perspective, we have an existing very small Redmond Cancer Center currently. It just has medical oncology and infusion. And so the new building is about nine times the size of that one. And so our new building is 53,000 square feet. We're located right next door to the Redmond Hospital.
Okay.
And this will be a fully comprehensive cancer center. And what that means is that we will be able to offer all of the treatment here at this location that any patient coming to us in Redmond or anywhere else would need. So there's no longer a need to go back and forth between Bend and Redmond to get treatment.
Yeah.
So we'll have medical oncology. We have a 5,000 square foot infusion center that is stunningly beautiful. We have radiation oncology, which is a brand new service to this area. There's currently only one location in all of Central Oregon, and that is with us at our Bend location. So this will be a huge addition for this cancer center. Along with that, we have our specialty oncology surgeons. We have our high-risk program. We have genetics. And then, of course, what's even more important is we have all the support services now in Redmond. So patients can attend a support group or an educational class. They can see the social worker, the dietitian, and any other visiting specialist that they may need to see. They can do all of that in Redmond now.
Yeah. For our audience, which the bulk of it is west of the Cascades, talk about that issue of distance in Central Oregon. You talked about not having to go to Bend. You know, talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, so Central Oregon is very broad. We have a very large service area, but because of the limited access to oncology services over here, we pull as far as Eastern Oregon. We pull into Idaho. Obviously, we go north and south, and even sometimes patients will come over the mountains to see us. We know that statistically today, if you look at where the population of patients we're serving live, we know at least 40% live in Redmond or north. So Warm Springs, Prineville, Madras. We serve patients in Burns, John Day, Lakeview. So those patients sometimes will travel several hours one way every time they need to come in. And if anyone's been through treatment or knows anything about it, there's numerous visits. If you're getting daily radiation, that's 5 days a week, you're traveling up to 2 hours one way for about 6 weeks. And then of course we have sometimes really difficult weather to travel through. So it is a really large barrier for our patients living in Central Oregon to get here. And so this will even save them traveling an extra 25 or 30 minutes one way is really impactful for somebody who's coming in every day.
Sure. So maybe give our audience sort of a sense of how long this has been in the works.
Yeah. So we started the plan. Well, the original approval was back in 2018, prior to my time at St. Charles. They acknowledged that there was a need to expand into Redmond to serve our patients. And then, of course, we all know what happened shortly after. And so I joined kind of the post-COVID era in 2020. And that's when we really brought it back. We're like, hey, let's get back on this mission of building this comprehensive cancer center in Redmond. So we started the actual planning of it about 3 years ago. And then, of course, the building has been under construction for a little bit less than 2 years.
Okay. In addition to what you just talked about in terms of all the sort of cutting edge cancer treatment technologies that are there, maybe talk a little bit about some of the amenities for families and non-patients, because obviously a lot of times cancer patients, their families go with them. Talk about what's available for people who are not the patient but are going to be part of this process anyways.
Yeah, when we designed this building, we knew that we often have patients, support systems, friends, family that come with our patients, and they're here for a long time. You could be here all day sometimes. So when we really designed the building, we said, okay, if you were going to be sitting here all day waiting for your loved one, you have the option, of course, of sitting in the infusion center, but we also constructed the lobbies, first and second floors to be have a variety of seating. We've got cafe style seating that has tables if you wanted to sit down and have a cup of coffee and get on your laptop. We've got conversational type seating. So we really looked at different types of seating that made visitors feel comfortable and just had a really warm, welcoming environment. So they didn't feel like they were sitting in a cancer center. So plants and lots of natural woodwork and, timber, and a ton of natural lighting, which is really a blessing for this building, is to have just lots of natural light, because I think we all know natural light just helps everybody. So those are some of the things that we've done. And of course, we're right next door to the Redmond Hospital. We are within walking distance of several other clinics. So if they're here and they have visiting specialists, they can sit. We have ample parking right at our front door. We've even got EV charging stations for our patients who need that while they're here. So those are a few of the amenities that we have right now.
How many patients can this new center accommodate?
So when we are full, we could easily see 300, probably more patients a day. And that's a combination across all of the services that we'll be offering here. So we currently see about that many in combination between our small Redmond facility and our Bend. And so if you think about that as two clinics, now we can offer that in one cancer center. So it's really allows us the capacity. And when we built this building, we said, hey, space is a valuable commodity and in short supply for everybody. So we need to build a building that suits our needs today, but it's going to last us the next 5, 10, 15 years. And so that's what we've done is we've built a building that we will continue to grow in as the community need grows.
Mari, I understand you guys have an event to invite the public to see this new facility. Talk about it.
Yeah, so on Thursday, April 16th, from 4 to 6, we are having a official ribbon cutting to celebrate the opening of the new Redmond Cancer Center. It is open to the public. We invite everybody from the public. We'll have a little bit of a ceremony, do the ribbon cutting, and then we're going to actually open up the building for the community to be able to come in and tour and see the space. We'll also have a lot of the team that works at the Cancer Center available to answer questions. You can actually get in and see a lot of the technology that you normally wouldn't get access to unless you're a patient. So it's really exciting, and we'd love to have as many of the community come out and join us.
Very exciting. Very exciting. She's Mari Shea, the service line administrator for cancer services at St. Charles. Mari, really appreciate you coming on and talking about this, the new cancer center.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.
That's the show for today. All episodes of Oregon on the Record are available as a podcast at klcc.org. Tomorrow on the show, you'll hear about Oregon's continuing problem with absenteeism at schools. And you'll also hear how Bluish Boise is in a bit of a fight with Idaho's deep red legislature about pride flags being displayed in public spaces around Boise. I'm Michael Dunn, host of Oregon on the Record. Thanks for listening.